This is Out and About on Peoria Public Radio. I'm Nathan Irwin.
And I'm Jen Gordon from Arts Partners of Central Illinois. This week, we're talking with Eric Ewan, director of Cornstalk Theater's production of Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. The production opened last Friday and continues through this Saturday. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, Eric, this is a play by Christopher Durang, but for theater buffs, the title alone instantly brings to mind some very famous characters by Anton Chekhov. That maybe there's some loose connections there, but can you just tell us a little bit more about Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike?
Well, I always tell people not to be put off by the title. It's a mouthful to say. And like I said, when I first heard it, I was not immediately drawn to it, having remembered Chekhov plays from when I was in grad school and undergrad school and reading those. So the connection in this play is that Christopher Durang, the author, obviously was a student of Chekhov, as a lot of the actors in the play are. But he says that this play is sort of semi-autobiographical in some ways. But the characters are named after characters in Chekhov's plays from their parents, who one of the characters in the show says his parents were college professors and very active in community theater. So they named their kids after the play characters.
And that extends somewhat into the theme of the play. Not only are the names recycled, but, you know, to some extent, the setting and sort of the issues that the characters are facing.
Absolutely. In fact, I guess, well, we should mention that Spike is not a Chekhov character. But it's ironic that the actor who plays Spike, Cody Cornwell, is a student here at Bradley, and probably the best scholar of Anton Chekhov in our cast. And so when we were working on the play, surprisingly, Cody's character is not too bright, but Cody's pretty bright and well-read. So he could tell us almost every reference and certain lines of dialogue that I really liked. He could tell me directly which plays they were, you know, lifted from and or borrowed from. But I guess what we should tell audiences is that you certainly don't have to be a student of Chekhov to enjoy this play. And at first I was a little reluctant to say yes, because I didn't really know if that would be really important to my understanding of the play itself. But I just approached it as you would any play. And then I had Cody and others help me remember the references, or at least tie those in.
So this is basically about a family of siblings, and there's a lot of dysfunction involved here and a lot of comedy ensues. Can you just tell us about those three siblings? Kind of start us out with them.
Absolutely. It's the story of Vanya, Sonia, and Masha, who were children who grew up in Bucks County, which is in Pennsylvania. And as I said earlier, their parents were professors. And Masha was the one who ventured out to be an actress. So she left and goes to Hollywood and was successful in a series of films. And her brother and sister, Vanya and Sonia, stayed home and took care of their elderly parents. And pretty much after their parents passed, just remained put. I think that sometimes I think people can relate to maybe, I don't know, getting stuck, but just being very complacent in where you are and what you're doing. And they're there. So Masha over the years has supported their staying at the farm. They really didn't take jobs. And she comes along for a weekend stay and announces that she's going to make some changes. Her career is going on. And she wants to sell the house, which throws them into conflict. And the siblings have a lot to bicker about during the course of the play. But mostly it's humorous bickering. But in a lot of ways, the play has some very poignant moments. A guy last night came up, he goes, "I laughed a lot, but I was surprised that it really sort of touched me at the end and at other places in the play." And I think Christopher Durang did a really good job. Of all his plays, and I've read a lot of them, I think this is the most accessible for audiences.
Let's talk a little bit about the playwright Christopher Durang, because obviously for longtime theatergoers, that's a name that might be familiar, but I think it might be a little less so to the, you know, general audience.
Well, I'll tell you, Christopher Durang, you know, I remember some of Beyond Therapy was his first play that did well, and Baby with the Bathwater, and Cornstalk has done some of his other works at the Winter Playhouse because they're a little edgier. This is probably the most mainstream type of play that he's written. As I said, he says it's sort of autobiographical, and he sees Vanya in himself to a large degree, at least some of the issues that Vanya is contemplating as he grows older. And he was excellent in the copy of the script I received in giving all sorts of director's notes about the play and how he saw the characters and how they were portrayed and that sort of thing. And also in stressing that he wrote it, you know, because of the connection to Chekhov, but also audiences could enjoy it without that understanding as well.
Christopher Durang is also known for developing these really well-fleshed-out characters and sometimes putting them in rather zany situations, unexpected situations. Can you tell us a little bit about the scene in this play where the characters end up wearing Snow White costumes?
Sure. Well, one of the things that prompted Masha to come home for the weekend was that a neighbor nearby is having a costume party, and she's decided to attend, but also her second motive is to announce that she wants to sell the house. Anyway, she plans on being Snow White, and her assistant has in mind that Snow White needs an entourage of dwarves with her, so she wants her brother and sister to play the dwarves. And while the brother goes along with that, the sister wants nothing to do with playing a dwarf, and there provides some of the comic relief. And of course, Spike is Prince Charming because he's Masha's latest boy toy. So,
one of the things that I find really interesting about this play is that it really has three very strong roles for actors who are in their 50s and 60s. And a lot of times you don't see that. A lot of shows are, the parts at least, are geared towards, you know, a younger cast.
Right. And I think that's probably one reason that Cornstuck was drawn to this particular play, because it did have roles for people who were older. And since one play is the part of the summer season, they wanted to offer something for the older actors in the community to do. And there are a lot of people who, you know, either don't like musicals, I don't understand that, but they also, or they just aren't musically talented. So I think that the age thing, I was a little worried at who might show up and whether or not they would specifically be those ages. In fact, in my initial promotion for the play, I sort of opened the age range up, hoping that if I didn't get the right ages, I would get people close, you know, to that particular age. But as it is, the actors who are playing the roles, one is dead on in her age, and the others are actually slightly older but don't read or seem that old in the parts.
You mentioned before we started recording that there are two cast members that are kind of returning back to Cornstalk after many years. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. One of those is Gail Tedford. Gail is a former, I think, city councilman, and she's a former lawyer. And she hasn't been at Cornstalk for probably 20 years, so she's back. And then Carl Augsburger, he's been at Cornstalk. He was in Spamalot a few years ago, but he's a longtime member. We were asked what our first show was, and he goes back to Camelot in 1971. So he has a long history with performing in the park. And I guess you're mentioning also Anna Oxborough, who plays Cassandra, who's the housekeeper with some psychic abilities. And Anna first appeared in Cornstalk in Crazy for You about 20 years ago. And so she's back in a part that she really has been maybe one of the audience favorites.
Mm-hmm. And when this production comes to an end, that's not the end of your theatrical year. You're already committed to a show that you'll be directing later in the winter.
Exactly. I'm not sure why I said yes to that, to go right back into it. But it's a show I wanted to do, and this one I was offered, and it wasn't something I initially was – I don't know if I would have ever submitted it, but I really like it. But the show that I'm doing in the winter is in December, and it's called Gifts of the Magi, and it's a musical version of the old Henry story. And it's a 6-person cast, and it's very limited in set, so it's perfect for the lab. But more than anything, I thought that the lab theater or the Winter Playhouse needed something at Christmas time to bring in audiences, but also offer as maybe some alternative types of theater that are in the area about that time. So I'm really happy that it's set at Christmas and it's a Christmas classic story and has beautiful music, and I'm willing to go back. It's not as big a production. You don't have to build as big a set, which, you know, Vanya has a complete house on stage, so that was a lot of work.
There's the old adage, the show must go on, and at Cornstalk Theater, especially in the tent, the show goes on regardless of the weather and what's happening. What can you as a director say to audience members to encourage them to come, even if it's a warm night or even perhaps if there's some sprinkles?
All right. Well, let's see. Usually, the question is it going to be a warm night and how hot will it be in the tent? And it's true that sometimes it gets hot in the tent, although they've purchased some new fans that are very quiet that cool it off to a certain degree. And I, you know, more than once have had shows have low attendance because audiences just thought it was too hot to come out there. And then there are the loyalists that will sit through anything. It's sort of defeating to work so hard on something and then have the heat ruin your audience size and that sort of thing. But this year, I kept saying, please don't be too hot. And what we ended up with was too cold. And I learned that Peoria audiences won't necessarily come when it's too cold. They'll sit in 20-degree weather for a football game, but not necessarily for a play, although it was just really in the, you know, upper 60s. And as far as the rain goes, it's interesting. Last summer when we were doing Spitfire Grill, it rained, and they got all kinds of calls asking if the play would go on. And, you know, the answer is that's why it's in a tent, so that the play can go on. And I performed Spamalot a few years back, and we had a couple of rainy nights, and they just close up the tent, and things happen. So don't be discouraged by the weather. We will still be there.
We've been talking with Eric Ewan. He's directing Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike at Cornstalk Theater. The production continues with performances tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 under the tent in Upper Bradley Park. Thank you very much for being with us, Eric.
You're welcome. I should say that there are plenty of tickets available, so don't be afraid to just show up.
And on Monday, July 3rd, the Peoria Municipal Band will help you kick off your Independence Day festivities with their All-American program at 7 p.m. at the Glen Oak Park. Katie McClucky and WCBU's own Lee Wenger will be the featured vocalist for this performance, which will precede the Peoria Park District's fireworks extravaganza. Out and About is a production of Peoria Public Radio and Arts Partners of Central Illinois. Each week, we connect you to the arts community by talking with local arts leaders and performers.
Our producer is Sierra Doss. You can learn more about Peoria Public Radio when you visit peoriapublicradio.org. I'm Nathan Irwin, and this is Out and About.